This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
True North convenience stores and Red Bull are an elite matchup. True North offers returning players Red Bull Original and Sugar-Free. First-round picks like Watermelon, Wild Berries, and the newest rookie, Red Bull Zero. Right now, grab three of your favorite 8-ounce can flavors for $6.50 and save 10 cents off a gallon with the True Rewards mobile app, available in your favorite app store. Rush into True North to score this deal before the clock runs out. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
All right, so we're going to talk to Jeff Asher now, and I'm excited about this, consultant and co-founder of AH Analytics. How you doing, Jeff?
Doing well. How are you?
I'm all right. I look, and I'm not trying to make fun of anybody at all, but seriously, when it comes to math, I am, in essence, dyslexic, I guess, because I don't get numbers. It's hard for me to understand what you're going to talk about, but we'll get through it. Okay, so tell me when it comes to I'm serious. I'm just being honest about that going into it. Words, I can do words, but numbers, not so much. When it comes to crime in New Orleans, how do you even go about establishing a metric when you talk about crime being bad?
Well, I think that we can all agree that crime in general is bad, and we want it to improve. I think that you kind of have to see it through two lenses, and people tend to only want to look at one lens or the other. The first is the level. So New Orleans is probably going to have 100 murders this year for the 56th straight year. We're probably going to be in the top five murder rate for the 30-something straight year.
Wait, so slow up a little bit, Jeff. Level, say that again, please.
We're going to be in the top five in murder rate for cities of 250,000 or more, probably for the every year since 1987,
I believe. And that would be per capita?
Per capita,
gotcha.
Right.
Okay.
So that's bad. What's good, though, is the trend. And so we have seen an enormous drop in murders. At this point in 2022, when murder was at its worst, New Orleans had the highest murder rate of any city in the country. There had been 193 murders on September 3rd. Now we're looking at 75. So we had an enormous increase in murders in 2022, really 2020 through 2022. Mm-hmm. And for the last 3 years, we've seen this dramatic, really remarkable drop to the point that through August, we've had the fewest murders of any year since 1970. So that level is not good. It's still a problem. It still needs a solution or a set of solutions. But the trend has been very encouraging and suggests that we're probably doing something right. We need to learn what those things are and take advantage of this opportunity of the trend going down to continue that, to hopefully get to murder zero.
So how do you go about establishing what it is that we're doing right?
That's the billion-dollar question, isn't it? Nobody really knows for sure, and people don't really know exactly why murder fell in the 90s. It fell for a bunch of reasons. Some of them we have better ideas about than others. I think that you look at sort of the factors that are driving murder, both New Orleans nationally. So one, this is a national trend. Murders down about 20% nationally in a sample of cities, about 550 cities that I collect data on through mid-year. So New Orleans down around the exact same, around that 20% range through August, seeing a very similar trend. So it's not just something that's in the water in New Orleans. It's something that's happening everywhere. It's happening in spite of the fact that right now we have fewer sworn police officers than we had 3 years ago. Enormous drop in murder, 60-something percent drop in murder. still have fewer officers. So it's not like the 90s where you could point to Richard Pennington coming in, firing half of NOPD in 1994, and then replacing them in 2 years, and all of a sudden we had this new police force that was doing all sorts of new things. We don't really have that necessarily in terms of the number of officers. We haven't really fixed the sort of root causes of crime. A lot of times, especially with activists, they'll talk about, oh, we need to fix poverty. We need to fix education first before we can fix these crime trends. Mm-hmm. We haven't done that. These are still major issues that are in need of fixes, and yet we're seeing these declines. The country is still awash in guns. We're seeing less gun sales now than we did maybe 5 years ago at this point, but we're still seeing lots and lots of guns within the country. So this isn't like a gun control driven drop or something like that. And it started 3 years ago. So it's not anything that started last year. It's not anything that's starting this year. So when I think about the things that are really the drivers, one, we've up to this point seen really strong federal investments locally and state investments as well. Enormous increase, and I know it doesn't feel like it, but had an enormous increase in street construction and enormous increases in things like neighborhood and social center construction coming from local and state governments. We've seen large investments up until this point from DOJ in things like community violence programs. And New Orleans is a great example. The Department of Justice in 2023 gave the city $2 million to start a hospital-based violence interrupters program. So anybody that's shot, they go to the hospital, they say, they try to attempt to stop that shooting turning into a retribution shooting, work with the family, work with the victims, work with the friends to avoid something bad happening down the line. That was so successful. Go ahead.
No, that's all right. I'm listening.
So that was so successful that the city invested $5 million of its own money in advancing this program so that it would be citywide. So you've got that. You've got the DA's office running its place-based intervention program called No Dice. Obviously, we've had Troop NOLA here. I tend to think it's reasonably on the smaller side, but you want to say anything that's done anything to help the community is probably had some sort of effect. And if we can't tease out anything, we should throw that in the pot as another thing that's being done. So it's not that we have one thing that's going well here, but we have all of these new initiatives and new efforts that are being spurred by the fact that we've generally, up to this point at least, had healthy budgets and the ability to invest local and state dollars into trying new things.
So to be clear, while you started by saying social answers about education and poverty, while that's not changed, non-law enforcement or efforts have changed or intervention efforts have changed. Do I understand you correctly there, Jeff, as far as that?
Yeah, well, we've seen a lot of efforts, both from the law enforcement side and the non-law enforcement side, that aren't necessarily fixing education, but really targeting the sources of violence.
Proactive as opposed to reactive, right?
Yeah. And not requiring major structural changes, but rather saying we know that these with the DA's office, we know that these locations are generating lots of complaints, are likely having drug trades and things that are leading to violence. Let's use the levers of the city to do something about it. So that's what we've done, I think, a lot more than we were doing 5-10 years ago even.
So if you take out 14 victims of Bourbon Street, we're talking about 59 murder victims, right?
Yeah. If you remove January 1st, then you're talking about the fewest murders. I think it's only since 1968 or 69, but far lower than even 2019 when we had the fewest murders. That set a new modern low in 2019. So it's remarkable that we had 266 murders in 2022. And this year we're on pace to have 105 to 110. It's a remarkable turnaround.
And I don't want to, go too far into the weeds here, but are we using murder and homicide interchangeably here?
So in this case, I'm talking about murder. Not all murders or not all homicides are murders, but all murders are homicides.
Right. So is there a subset in that murder of whether it's domestic violence or whether it's aggravated robbery or something along those lines? You see what I'm asking you, where if it's social violence or domestic violence, there's a little you can do to intervene there. I guess I don't know if it's armed robbery. Tell me about that.
So usually it's argument related. So you and I are hanging out. We know each other. Usually the perpetrator and the victims know one another. domestic violence is obviously very serious. We see a number of domestic murders each year, but usually that's a stable number, and it's about like 10% of overall murders. Robberies rarely turn into murders, and we've seen a dramatic drop, like a 60% drop in robberies, an 82% drop in carjackings from 3 years ago. So we're seeing less and less of these, and those rarely turn into something horrible, like with Linda Fricke, with, you know, carjacking turn into a murder. Those are rare. Usually the victim and the perpetrator know one another. They have some sort of argument. They have some sort of disagreement. One or both of them are armed, and it turns into something violent and turns into a shooting, turns into a murder. So that is the majority of our killings tend to be like that. I don't want to stereotype everything, but sort of the general direction that they tend to go.
And I'm certainly not trying in any way to minimize the 14 people that lost their life in a French Quarter terror attack, but from a statistical standpoint, would it be accurate to call that an anomaly and really work off of a 59 number as far as projecting murders for the rest of the year?
Yeah, we don't know what's going to happen mm-hmm. the rest of the year. I think that
Let me say pace. Let's call it pace.
We're certainly at that level. We're on pace. I mean, with 4 months left, I think we've been averaging right around that 10 murders per month over the last few months. If you call January an anomaly, because there were only 19 murders in January, and so 14 of them happened within the first 3 hours of the month. So in general, I think you could call it an anomaly.
Statistical anomaly in no way taking anything away from anybody that lost their lives. Right. So I guess what I'm saying is, where would that put us per capita if you plan on, but if you say extrapolate, say 10 murders a month, that would put us at what, 120 murders for the year?
Probably closer to 100.
And where would that put us per capita? Do you have any idea?
I don't know exactly where it would put us per capita, probably in the 30-ish per 100,000 mm-hmm. range, which may drop us out of the top five. I don't know. I think the thing is, like, because this is national, everywhere else is seeing big declines too. Mm-hmm. I don't run those numbers specifically to know exactly where we would be. I'm a big believer in we should compare ourselves to ourselves rather than to others. Mm-hmm. When you think about, like, how are the Saints doing, you often think about it relative to, okay, they won 13 games in 2000 under Drew Brees, mm-hmm. and now they're going to win 3 games this year. That's a better comparison,
easy,
I think, to
Jeff.
Looking at, okay,
easy.
They're not the Eagles. If we're lucky, they might win 3.
Easy, Jeff.
So,
pull the reins back on Jeff. Hang on a second here. We haven't even played a game yet. Hey, hang on a second. Seriously, we'll pick it up when we come back, all right? Okay? Good. Jeff Asher, consultant, co-founder of AH Analytics. We're talking about President Trump threatening to send the National Guard to New Orleans. We have already talked about murder, but I want to talk about crime in general because I guess when I drive around New Orleans, or I live in Plaquemines, but when I drive or wherever I walk anywhere, I don't feel unsafe. But I guess, is perception reality, or is reality reality? Because Jeff deals with reality and numbers. That's what he does. So we'll talk about that when we come back. Text me at 504-260-187. Let me know what you think about crime in New Orleans. Do you think it's bad? Do you feel afraid when you come to the city? I'd like to know. But don't text and drive. Back in a flash, WWL. So we're talking to Jeff Asher, and we're discussing President Trump. Well, in a way, crime in New Orleans, and President Trump saying that he could straighten things out in 2 weeks. And I guess, Jeff, I don't know if perception is reality. Ronald Surpass will tell me that it's about the perception of crime. I'm not getting anybody telling me they're afraid in the city. You deal with the reality, not the perception, right? So I don't know. What is it? Is it the perception or is it the reality?
Well, it's certainly the perception. I think that New Orleans has crime, just like any city. Mm-hmm. It remains an issue that we need to deal with. I think the question is not, does this problem exist? It's, what is the best way to approach it? And I don't think anybody locally, or very few people locally, would say the best way to approach it is to disrupt all of the progress we've made over the last few years and bring in the National Guard and federal agents to do who knows what. I think that in general, people are bad at perceiving crime trends and crime data. And you see this in surveys of going back the last 20-something years of people saying that they think crime has risen in America over the past year, and more than half the time in the last 20 years that these taken these surveys, it's fallen. YouGov just had a poll asking people whether or not murder was higher now than in the early 1990s, when, like, objectively, we have significantly lower murder now than we had in the early 1990s. And yet a majority of people in every age bracket, every political group, every way that you could slice it, said that murder was higher 35 years ago than it is now. So it's something that people are bad at perceiving. I don't think that we should make policy based on that perception. Mm-hmm. I think we should work to change the perception and say, when things are getting better, hey, they're getting better. This is why we think they're getting better. These are the things we still need to do. The problem is not solved, but they're getting better. And when they're getting worse, we should also have that conversation. And, you know, I've been on your show many times, and we've talked about how much worse things were getting. It's delightful to be talking about how much better they're getting. We shouldn't be afraid when they're getting worse.
Jeff, let me jump in for a second, because I think you just nailed it when you said you don't base policy on perception. You base it on the reality, on what the numbers are showing. You can't create a policy based on a subjective feeling, right?
Right. And your policy response, if the perception is, you know, that people don't believe that crime is rising or crime is falling, your policy response should not be to feed into that. Your policy response should be to take advantage of that and to convince them of that what the data shows is happening. And it also shouldn't be to ignore that these are still issues, that these are things that every American city is dealing with. But one can acknowledge that the trend is positive while also acknowledging that, hey, it's not perfect and we still have a lot of work to do.
So I began this by saying, when it comes to numbers, I'm kind of dyslexic. I'm a word guy. But let's take a statement like crime is out of control. There's a lot to unpack there. That can mean a lot of different things to a lot of different people, right? I mean, that's a very subjective statement. So when it comes to crime is out of control compared to what, or politicians love, and this is not a reflection on Donald Trump at all, every politician loves to save people from danger, whether it's real or imagined, right? Donald Trump says he can clean up crime in 2 weeks. Is crime out of control in the city? And what difference could the National Guard make in 2 weeks in New Orleans, or where would they even focus their efforts? I'm not criticizing the president or the National Guard. I'm just trying to figure out, is this all just a big smokescreen, or what's going on here?
Well, I don't know that an out of control versus in control framing is at all helpful. I think that we are seeing vast improvements. We are, you know, if we have 100 murders this year, that's still 100 too many. Mm-hmm. So we still need
vast improvement. But it's not realistic to say zero either, right?
No, it's not, but we can hope for it. Mm-hmm. I mean, that should be the goal, even if we know that the goal is too lofty, or maybe not even the goal. That should be the dream. But in terms of, I think this is where, getting back to my original point way back when we started talking, was the level is something that is still something we have to deal with. This problem exists. But the trend, which is what the policy should be based on, how are we doing better or are we doing worse? The trend is unequivocally down. And it's very strange. I mean, I expected and we see this nationally, we're going to have probably the lowest murder rate nationally ever recorded in 2025. My expectation was entirely that the president would come in and he would basically take credit for it, because that's what politicians do, right? Regardless of whether or not your policies have influenced it, if the data shows good things, then you take credit for it. Instead, it seems bizarre to be really interrupting a lot of the stuff that drove things down, or probably drove things down, and say, no, things are actually getting much worse and they're out of control. What the National Guard, these are not law enforcement officers. They don't have arresting power. They're in D.C. largely hanging out around the metro stations and the monuments and tourist areas. The French Quarter is already one of the most heavily policed areas in the state. It probably the most heavily policed area in the state. And so I don't know what adding armed National Guard necessarily does to improve the safety in the French Quarter. And I don't know, are you going to put them around the Garden District where in the walking tours? I don't know where you're going to put them.
Well,
this
is not in your wheelhouse, but I'd like to talk to Walt Leger, because I can't believe it does the city any good to have the president talking about crime being out of control in New Orleans and sending the National Guard in when it's not true, right?
Right, yeah.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews, or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
True North Convenience Stores and Red Bull are an elite matchup. True North offers returning players Red Bull Original and Sugar-Free. First-round picks like Watermelon, Wild Berries, and the newest rookie, Red Bull Zero. Right now, grab three of your favorite 8-ounce can flavors for $6.50 and save 10 cents off a gallon with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your favorite app store. Rush into True North to score this deal before the clock runs out. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Absolutely. It didn't do us any good. It doesn't do anybody any good. I can't imagine the governor likes that, because the governor has been talking up his contributions. And you've had
And that's
Trubula
the other thing.
Here.
Exactly, Jeff. That's what I thought. It's counterintuitive because, well, wait, we were taking a bow for Troop NOLA, but now you're saying you need the president's help? I don't get that.
Yeah, it doesn't necessarily make a lot of sense. I don't think it necessarily fits the data, and it's certainly not going to be popular. I mean, who wants troops? And
fits the data. Thank you, sir. Go ahead. Keep
and I was thinking back to 20 years ago when in 2 weeks from yesterday, when I went back with my dad to start to look at the house and clear things out. And I remember we were getting stuff and put him in the car to drive back to Houston. And these National Guardsmen straight from Iraq, from Massachusetts, drove by. And I was remember thinking how nice it was that they were there, that they were supportive, that they were helping to patrol the city, and they were keeping, people's property
but
safe.
But you're talking about after Katrina now, right?
Right after Katrina, right. It's very different. It was very nice for the National Guard to be there. This is not necessarily a time that I think anybody needs or wants this. And if the data suggests that things are getting better, then all it can do is necessarily interrupt that progress.
Jeff, before we let you go, because I don't know how limited your time is, but we started with education and poverty and people pointing to those. And also we talked about hoping for zero. But when it comes to the trends and the downward trends, could it be that some of the low-hanging fruit has been harvested? And if you really want to get those numbers down a lot from there, almost like golf. I don't know if you play golf or not. You can get to be a shoot 90 pretty easy. But if you're going to go from 90 to 70, you better work a lot at it, and it's not easy. Is it kind of the same thing here, where some of the low-hanging fruit has been harvested, and now if you're going to get those numbers down a lot, you really need to look at the root causes with education and poverty? Or am I making stuff up in my head?
First off, I take exception to you just assuming I'm not a scratch golfer.
All right. I didn't say that. I said if you play golf. I said I don't know if you play golf, and then I said if you do,
definitely not a scratch golfer.
All right. It's easy to go to 90. Am I right? But then to go from 90 to 70, you got to work a lot at it.
Yeah, absolutely. And I don't know. I think that there's some truth to that, and you see that in certain areas like response times. NOPD in April 2023 had a 180-minute average response time. So 3 hours was the average response to all 911 calls. Now, because they've added civilians, they have this contractor responding to non-injury traffic accidents. This year, it's closer to 50 minutes on average. So we've seen dramatic drop in response times, because we took care of, like you said, kind of the low-hanging fruit. To get to 40 minutes or 30 minutes on average, that's a lot harder. Because we don't really understand exactly what's driving crime down, I don't know that we can predict whether or not this is going to get better, get worse, or stay about the same. My prior is that we're probably going to see it sort of level off, and it generally tends to rise at some point. At some point, this drop is going to stop. I don't know if that's 6 months from now or 6 years from now. But because we don't really know exactly why this is occurring, we can't say with 100% certainty that we're not doing something right that's going to keep it going down. So I don't know that it's necessarily low-hanging fruit. In theory, as you reduce shootings, you reduce these retribution killings. You reduce these cycles of violence.
It's an exponential effect almost, right?
Yeah, in theory, that helps to reduce it. But we still got, obviously New Orleans has a lot of alcohol. It has a lot of drugs. It has a lot of guns. Those things, when they're mixed, occasionally lead to violence. So we're probably always going to have a certain level of violence. There's always going to be things that we can do to improve upon or reduce our level of violence. But we're probably going to run out at some point of the ability to go down significantly further, whether that's 30 murders or 70 murders or 100 murders, I have no idea, and I don't think anybody else knows as well.
Let me get to a quick text here. And look, everybody's entitled to their opinion, right? But 1401 text in last four digits. It's a crime deterrent. What is wrong with you liberal idiots? Do y'all want crime? It sure sounds like it. Well, first of all, I can assure whoever texted this in, Jeff Asher is no idiot. I may be, but I can guarantee that Jeff is not. Secondly, I knew you weren't a scratch golfer because you work too hard. You would have to be spending a lot more time on a golf course and neglecting your duties to be a scratch golfer. Thirdly, do you want crime, Jeff? Are you a liberal idiot?
I don't know. I don't want to paint myself in any sort of stereotype there.
Yeah.
I like to think that my role at least is sort of as the umpire, calling balls and strikes. And I wasn't being called a liberal idiot in 2020 and 2021 when I was the first one to write about how much murder and gun violence was rising. Mm-hmm. So it's been weird the last few years to see sort of the side switch as far as who's yelling at the umpire. I used to be a good golfer in high school. City Park had when after school you could pay $10 for a month and play nine holes for
same thing at Brechtel, buddy. Kept me out of trouble. I guarantee it kept me out of trouble.
That was the best.
The monthly ticket. Yep. So real quick, somebody texted in, what happened in D.C. after the guard game came? That's a good question. What did happen in D.C.?
So it hasn't been very long. It's been, less than a full month. Mm-hmm. What we see from the available data, which is incomplete and preliminary, is that there hasn't really been a lot of change in violent crime. Violent crime was falling in D.C. It's falling now. It, at least from the publicly available data, we're not really seeing, if you chart it, any real change. But you need a couple of months to be able to see anything. We do see potentially a drop in property crime, which could really, it sounds like, oh, great, property crime's down, but it also is an alarm bell if people aren't wanting to be around areas where the National Guard is. If it turns people off, if tourists don't want to come, you would see a drop in property crime. I mean, COVID was great for reducing pickpockets in the French Quarter. It had horrible effects everywhere else.
Well, it emptied the pockets, right?
Yeah, and there weren't tourists. So you don't want to reduce property crime, which is really often, almost always driven by opportunity, by reducing the opportunity. You want to reduce it by reducing that sort of ability of criminals to commit crimes. So it's too early to say for sure. There does seem to be at least a small drop in property crime. Whether or not that's just random noise or actually related to what's happening in D.C., and whether or not it's because people feel safer and there's less crime, or because there's just fewer people out there to go about and do vehicle burglaries against or pickpocket, we don't know for sure, and we won't be able to say that for a while.
Real quick, I got to get to this text, and it's a little bit nicer than the other one. Crime is down because of the weed wars ended after 40 years. Is there anything truthful about that at all, factual about that?
I don't know that we can necessarily tease that specific effect out. We in New Orleans, it's been a decade plus since the city sort of decriminalized marijuana prosecution, so I don't know the degree to which that specifically is driving it down over the last 3 years.
Jeff, any final points before we let you go? I appreciate your time. I really do.
No, I don't think so. We're seeing very positive trends, and I guess from my perspective, at least, I would hate to interrupt those positive trends just to score political points.
What's the strongest part of your golf game?
It's definitely not my putting. It's probably I'm good with a 5-wood. That's like my, the tin cup 7-iron is my 5-wood.
My problem is I'm a driving range golfer. I can strike the ball well. I just can't score. Thank you, Jeff. Appreciate it.
My pleasure.
You bet. Jeff Asher, the consultant, co-founder of AH Analytics, trying to put some fact behind the story. 941, 19 till 10, traffic now, WWL.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
True North Convenience Stores and Red Bull are an elite matchup. True North offers returning players Red Bull Original and Sugar Free. First round picks like Watermelon, Wild Berries, and the newest rookie, Red Bull Zero. Right now, grab three of your favorite 8-ounce can flavors for $6.50 and save 10 cents off a gallon with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your favorite app store. Rush into True North to score this deal before the clock runs out. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework. Hate doing cardio? Try brushing and flossing your teeth. I'm not talking about building up a sweat. I'm talking about building a healthier mouth for a healthier heart for a healthier you. Smile Generation trusted dentists look at your care through the lens of the mouth-body connection, because what happens in the mouth plays a critical role for the rest of your body. To find a dentist near you committed to treating all of you, visit smilegeneration.com/confidence today and live longer, healthier, and happier with confidence unleashed. Quality sleep isn't just about how long, but how well you sleep. And science proves temperature plays a massive role. ChiliPad by SleepMe is a precision temperature-controlled sleep system that cools or warms your bed so you can sleep hard and recover harder. And it's not just for pro athletes. Just set your temp from 55 to 115 degrees, and ChiliPad does the rest. Visit sleep.me and use code SLEEPCOOL20 for 20% off your first ChiliPad. That's SLEEP.ME for 20% off your ChiliPad. This special offer expires September 30th and cannot be combined with other offers.